Breathe on us, O God, that we may be filled with your Spirit and led by your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless the word of my lips and the meditations of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Genesis 12 tells us the covenant of Abraham that God is making. Once again, it wasn't the Abraham who came to God. It was God who appeared to Abraham and made this covenant. It is a calling of Abraham. Even we hear more surprising calling in the reading that Abraham was called when he was 85. Please put your hands up who are qualified to be called. Yes, hallelujah. Remember, God's calling is not based on your usefulness or your age. Many people would think that the 85 is something that already wrapping up, finishing, and ready to close one's life and planning for the next generation. But that was wrong in the case of Abraham. And that wasn't the idea of what God had in mind when God called Abraham. Matthew chapter 9 is the same as well. When God called Matthew, the job of the Matthew was the tax collector. Just one more background information of the tax collector, according to the colonized Israel. The tax collectors not collecting tax for the people of Israel. No, they were collecting tax to give to the colonizing power of Rome, Roman Empire. I clearly remember that this kind of tax collecting people's job when Japan occupied and colonized South Korea and North Korea before. We considered they were leech, sucking out of the Korean people's blood to make Japan rich, not just money. During the World War II, they even collect any kind of iron, copper, and our copper bowls in everyone's home to make more war materials, guns and tanks. Indeed, they collected all sorts of things from Korea to build up their war-making industry so that they can continue the war, which they believed they can win. Now, tax collectors' position in our Matthew's Gospel exactly tells us how much respect they were receiving. They were same category or even worse category than sinners, right? In the Bible, it describes that the Israel people were complaining in chapter 9, why your teacher was eating with tax collectors and sinners. You see, tax collectors were the leeches sucking out of the blood of Israel people for the sake of Roman Empire, betrayal of the country. Therefore, they are enemy of God. It's funny, after Matthew was called in the Matthew chapter 9, the story flows from there in a different direction that normal elite Jewish religious teacher would take. After Matthew was called, those who gathered for the meal, probably friends and neighbors of Matthew, who was the tax collector. Wow, this person is interested in us, marginalized socially and politically, and condemned by the society. Wow, Jesus is interested? Let's go and have a meal together. Why not? I'm happy to shout. Those tax collectors and sinners all came. But there is one more leader who came in that dinner. That was a leader whose daughter was died. At least from their eyes. Next page, please. His daughter died, and the demand or the request of this leader was that, "Please, Lord, come to lay your hands on my daughter so that she can live." Now here, the exact face, what the demand was from this leader. They may despise tax collectors. They may don't like those sinners. However, they knew the power of God in laying on hands of Jesus. And Jesus was going on his way to this leader's house while the crowd were all following Jesus, because let's go once again, like those tax collectors, have a look at what Jesus making miracles. And in that, there was another woman who was struggling and suffering 12 years of the hemorrhage. Continuing blessing. Oh yes, woman with the blood issue. In Israel society, they were considered unclean and unfit to come into the church as well. They were literally outsiders like those tax collectors. And 12 years. Can you imagine how much of the struggle this woman had to bear in her journey of the not just the sickness of the physical isolation, but also social isolation and the religious hatred? Her husband may not be with her anymore, because it was acceptable cause of divorce of that time. She probably spent all her possessions to heal this illness. But she also shows a clear purpose in her action. "If I only touch his clothes, I will be healed." These two people, the leader and the woman of the suffering 12 years, clearly had faith in their heart. That's why when she was healed, Jesus declared, "Woman, your faith made you heal." And then Jesus comes to the grieving house, preparing for the funeral, and making the girl to leave. But guess what? There were people who did not believe Jesus can raise this dead girl. They were laughed at him. Now we see two kinds of the response from the actions of Jesus. One from the Matthew and Matthew's friend, tax collector, sinners who came when Jesus called for a dinner. And also there was a leader, assumably, presumably Jewish leader, and also this poor marginalized woman who trusted and responded to the power of Jesus. On the other hand, we hear those who gathered who are laughing at Jesus. How can he revive a dead person? Sometimes when we think of the mission of God, we believe that is almost like impossible, like the movie title, Mission Impossible. We are not Tom Cruise, who are healthy and the fit, jumping out of the running car and even airplane. No, we are not physically. And often when we hear in the church, we sometimes think this is the mission that God has given to us that is, oh no, once again, impossible. But I want you to know that there is a different understanding of the mission, that mission is not our mission, my mission. God has called and ordered us not to complete the impossible mission, but God is inviting us to join in the mission of God. According to the Baptist Mission Australia, they have this website that explains what is the mission. Our mission flows from God's mission to restore and renew all creation. Next one. God calls all people to be participants in this mission, and it is the church's privilege and the responsibility to live out God's love for the world. This is based on the understanding and theology of mission, the mission of God, Missio Dei, next page. And this mission of God is the Latin term meaning the mission of God, sending of God, referring to God's active, redemptive work in the world to reconcile all creation to himself. It is emphasizing not what we have to do, but what God is already doing. Missio Dei is not a new concept. It is actually first mentioned in 1934 by a German theologian. I forgot his name, but hopefully the slide have his name. Karl Hartenstein, yes, Karl Hartenstein. And after him, Missio Dei was spreading, and in the International Missionary Council of the 1952 Wellingen Conference, that is in Germany, that they adopted this theology of mission as a formal theology of the missionary council. Missio Dei, the mission of God. Now, in other words, that some of the things in our church is doing currently, it is not because we decided, it is because what God wanted. Our mission to help others. Our mission to be a blessing to others are all related to or initiated from this mission of God. We have a clipboard outside. What are the organizations that you are volunteering? Oh, there was a huge list building. If you haven't found your organization you are volunteering, yes, put that organization name too. Because all those works and the activities you are doing as part of that organization is exactly what God's mission that we are participating. We are thankful. For God has called us like he called Abraham and Matthew. We are thankful that God will make God's mission complete, not as a duty or responsibility that we have to complete or could fail. No way. God cannot fail God's mission. Maybe it takes some longer time that we, as a human being, cannot understand. Next page, please. At the beginning, when Abraham was called at his age of 85 to go to the land where God promised, I told you a long time ago in the Bible reading that Abraham was initially from the Mesopotamia, where one of the ancient culture was brewing and becoming large, culturally advanced Mesopotamia. And God is sending the family of Abraham into the nowhere in between, the civilization of Mesopotamia and the civilization of Egypt. Of course, later on, when there was a famine, Abraham had to flee to survive to the civilization of Egypt. Nonetheless, the important part is that God has called him to seemingly from human mind impossible mission to follow. But let us not think about the end result of God's calling just now. Let us remember this God is our creator. This God is our Savior. This God is our Advocator, like the Trinity we have learned last week in the Trinity Sunday. Who is and who was and who will be always with us. This God called us. Whether we are righteous or sinners, it doesn't matter. The invitation is for us that Jesus Christ have come to call sinners like you and me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.